dripping and roasting. Yeah, that's what we do. Set them up, knock them down, make that cherry glow. Whiskey and cigars, the gentleman's cologne.
Cheers, y'all.
Well, 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 well.
Now that sounds like the beginning of a party, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this fine radio program, podcast, and video extravaganza known internationally as the world-famous Smokin' and Toastin'. We're here for show number 373 on location at one of our favorite places in the world, the Casa de Monte Cristo at 610 and 59 in Houston.
Yeah, this place. This is the place where I stop most times before before the show to pick out a cigar and do a cigar a review, so I'll sit up
which
here.
Which you'll then talk about later.
Which then I talk about, yeah, like because it's fresh on my mind, because I just smoked it. But, you know, our studio is right around the corner from here, so it's nice, like 5 minutes away.
Right, so we picked a really good and convenient place for
it. It's even in line and on the way, you know. I have to pass it anyway, so that's really nice.
Our guest this week is Josh Kane from Casa de Monte Cristo. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I never had a cigar before.
don't inhale your cigar.
Sorry about that. Josh, welcome to the program. You were recommended to us as the right person from Casa de Monte Cristo to sit and talk cigars with us today. So
it's a pleasure to be on the show. I've been in the shop for 8, maybe 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I started back when it was Serious Cigars, and I've worked for the Casa de Monte Cristo family for probably close to 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of their busier shops. It's a good location.
How much did the shop change? Because I was a customer of yours back when you were a few blocks away in the other
location.
And then you moved over here, but it was still Serious Cigars at that time. How much did being at Casa de Monte Cristo change things, just in terms of the shop itself? I'm sure it changed how you had to do reports and stuff like that. But
you know, it didn't change all that much, you know. I mean,
it still feels very similar to
it's
me.
It's the same
the
people.
Personality of the shop. Yeah, yeah.
It's the same location. You know, it changed in the back end, mm-hmm. back office stuff. But you know, cigars are conversations. They're people. They're memories. That stuff hasn't changed at all.
And one of the things that I really love about this spot is that you've got a really nice sort of VIP members room, and that's where we're doing the show today. But for those who aren't VIP members, there's plenty of room for them to smoke. There's plenty of comfortable chairs.
There's two other lounge areas.
Yeah, and there's plenty of great conversations going on right now in both of those lounges. I love that, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, we talk about this a lot, that cigars, to me, seem to be one of the few things that bring people together these days. You know, you've got greater polarization than ever on so many things, from politics to all kinds of things. And yet, although I'm sure there's political discussions that crop up in here from time to time, it feels like everybody's more just like, it's the cigar that's kind of bonds everybody in here. And I love that about great cigar lounges, and this is one of the best ones.
It's pretty entertaining when I walk in sometimes. There are a bunch of regulars here that I've gotten to know over time, and they're all sitting around the TV yelling at the Jeopardy, like playing along with Jeopardy on the TV. It's pretty fun.
I love that. That's awesome.
You know, cigars bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
It brings, you know, male, female, young people, old people.
Sure.
You get athletes, you get musicians, you get politicians.
Musicians are crazy.
I am smoking right from the humidor here at Casa de Monte Cristo. One that I believe this is a Casa exclusive. This is the 1935 anniversary Monte Cristo cigar.
Yeah, buddy.
And Josh was in the humidor with me, and he was suggesting some things to smoke. And I said, yeah, Ian's going to need another cigar. And he said, well, maybe Ian should smoke this one. He handed me this. I was like, wait a second. That's an A.J. Fernandez blend, isn't it? And he said, yes, it is. I said, okay, Ian will get something else. I'll be smoking the A.J. because I am a certified A.J. fanboy.
Oh, he's a total fanboy.
So the 1935 edition Monte Cristo, I believe, got number 2 cigar in the world a couple years ago. the line extension, that specific size, is a store exclusive just here. It's kind of like a short Corona style size, and it's just stout, and it's coffee and raisin and licorice. And
it took it about, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 puffs before all these flavors just started to materialize, and it was just absolutely wonderful. I did get a bit of a Nicaraguan pepper blast on those first few puffs, but once that settled down, here came these flavors, and they're so intense, and one of the things I think about AJ's best blends is that they're so complex. There's so much going on, and you're kind of like, well, I'm getting a little bit of that chocolate. Ooh, am I getting some licorice? And it just kind of feels like it just weaves its way in and out. And I love that. It makes the whole experience of smoking the cigar a bit of an adventure. And certainly, he's not the only guy that can do that, but he does it so consistently. That's why I'm become a bit of a fan.
So I came in while we were setting up, and I snapped up a Superfly from Oscar Valdez.
I know you love that cigar.
Because that is one of my absolute go-tos. I love them, but Josh also picked out a Monte Cristo New York edition for me to smoke next. Mm. So I'm looking forward to that coming
up. That is wonderful. Absolutely. Well, my friends, see, I knew something was going on when we had the extra chair set up. We have now been officially podcrashed by the one and only Alan Denny. Welcome to the show.
I heard there were cigars, alcohol, and bad decisions here, so I had to show up.
That happens pretty much every week. But yes, you're always, always welcome to podcast. I will also point out, and by the way, we want to say a big special thanks to our special guest from last week, Will Brooks, the global brand ambassador for Herradura Tequila, and our good friend and smoking a toast and cocktail expert, Roberto Rivas Villar, who is actually here today as well. He heard we were going to be smoking cigars and drinking, and is like, okay.
We're now the hang.
Yeah, but I appreciate, because he earned the beers we'll be pouring for him today, because he brought along this very cool wireless mic, which I'm trying out.
Yeah, we're trying out. Think about getting some of those for on-location stuff. Yeah. That'd be super
nice. So anyway, welcome to the show, and welcome, Mr. Denny.
It's
good
to see
you.
Sir.
I haven't seen you in a while.
It has been.
Since you went to the Eras Tour, apparently.
Yes, I wish.
I see your Taylor Swift.
Hey, I love Tay-Tay.
Yeah, well,
I just realized you are wearing the Taylor Swift
I am.
Tour. But you didn't see the show?
No, I wish.
Okay, well, it's on Disney Plus. Maybe you can watch it on that.
I might be in the middle of that right now.
Okay.
If you could wear out a digital version of something, I think he's working on it.
I love that. Absolutely love it. Well, since you're here, it might as well be time for us to get right into the show and our becoming rather popular segment, which we initially called the mystery beverage, but now we refer to as the beverage of mystery,
the
or
bomb.
As I like to say,
the bomb.
So here we are. That's the place where in post,
oh, they can edit me out there.
It's
I forgot it does the whole
it's fun.
Beverage of mystery.
Yeah, it's quite important. So the beverage of mystery is where one of us will bring in something to sample each week, and the only person who knows what it is, and that one's yours.
Do we have a little bit that we can...
I have one for him right there.
Oh.
I was going to take care of Roberto, but Roberto's SOL now don't worry, Roberto, we'll get you on the next thing. But the beverage of mystery is where the only person on the show who knows what this is the person what brung it. And that would be me today. So everybody wants to, take a little...
It smells IPA-ish.
Yeah, take a little
smells like peach.
Of the beverage of mystery.
And fruity.
Got peach.
Yeah, it's...
Peach Jolly Rancher.
I am picking... Oh, peach Jolly Rancher. Very
the
well said,
bubbles
Terry.
Are a little bit big, though, so it's not beer, I think.
All right.
Nope, it's not beer.
Ooh, tastes like grapefruit when you drink it.
Yeah. He seemed so disappointed when he said, nope, it's not beer.
It's not beer. It is.
Nope, it's not beer.
It is very peachy.
It is very peachy, though.
Is this a new flavor of Monster?
Sounds like a new game. Nope, it's not beer.
or at the very least, the Saturday Night Live skit, right? It's tart enough, though, that it gives you that little, feeling like right under your ear.
You get that.
You know what I'm talking about? What are your thoughts, sir?
I think it sucks with this cigar. it does not go well with cigar.
They're not marrying all that well, no. I can say.
This is way too sweet for me. This is not something I could drink.
I, I'm wondering if this is a new Monster flavor.
Well, let's see what we have.
It has almost a cheap wine kind of thing going on, too.
Yeah, I can taste that.
Like wine cooler-ish mm-hmm. without the bubbles.
Yeah.
Remember those Seagram's Golden Wine?
Yes.
Bruce
That's
Willis
exactly
did the commercials.
That's exactly
or who were the guys? Bartles and James.
Bartles and James. Bartles and James.
We are dealing with a hazy gold imperial tropical and unfiltered from City Orchard. That's the brewery, but we are dealing
so
with...
So this is a hazy cider thing.
It's a hard cider with natural flavors. Hazy imperial with hints of tropical fruit.
You know, I've had some of their stuff, and I like some of their straight-up ciders. I don't think I like this one.
Mm-hmm. I taste the tropical, though.
It does taste tropical. This might be better if you weren't smoking a cigar, and if you were, like, you know, outside on a hot summer day, and this
yeah.
was fresh out of the cooler. I could see maybe. But I agree with you, Ian. It's still a little sweet for me.
Yeah, it's a little sticky, I think.
I like my ciders to be a little more crisp and maybe not quite so.
Yeah, you could drink too many of them and it'd give you a tummy ache if you weren't careful.
I feel like the Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, like the Jolly Rancher.
I feel like, and that's probably not for everybody, but that would be the road to heartburn for me.
I got you.
Right down the road to heartburn.
All right, so with the beverage of mystery now out of the way, let me tell you a little bit about what you can expect on today's show. We will be talking cigars a lot because we got Josh here. It'll be fun to, you know, just have another cigar voice, if you will.
We could probably sit back and just watch Josh and Alan talk about cigars.
You guys want to do the show today? I want to be smoking this excellent cigar. I'm picking up a little uneven burn there, but that could be my fault because sometimes it's hard to keep talking and keep the cigar burning correctly, although you seem to have no problem.
I had to relight mine.
Okay, well, fair enough. I'll touch this up in a moment. But first of all, we are going to be trying... and by the way, I meant to mention this, but the beverage of mystery music is called The Visitor, and it's by Shane Ivers at Chosic.com. Thank you, Shane, for allowing us to use your track. We'll be trying to do a little beer tasting on the program today. From Real Ale Brewing in Blanco, Texas, the Wrist Rocket Imperial Blonde Ale.
Oh, that sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. I love Real Ale.
Yeah, or I don't know about the title, though. Almost sounds like a marital aid. From
That's the shake weight.
Yeah, oh, yes, that is for sure. That is for sure. Do they still sell those?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I bet there's a whole bunch of used ones out there you can buy, though.
Oh, that sounds questionable.
Yeah.
Don't put them under a black light.
From Boston, Massachusetts, the UFO Beer Company, which is a division of Harpoon, will be trying their main blueberry. It's a blueberry ale. Ooh. And the last UFO fruited beer that we tried was outstanding. I don't know if you remember it. It was like a triple berry.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their main blueberry. So I'm a big fan of blueberry. We'll see how that works out. And from Forefathers Brewing, not Forefathers, but Four Fathers, as in dads, Forefathers Brewing, their barrel-aged Valhalla. It's an imperial stout.
That sounds impressive.
That we'll be trying. Yeah, those guys are out of Valparaiso, Indiana. And some rum today from Puerto Rico, the Ron del Barabito Puerto Rican rum. So we'll be trying that as well. So lots of good stuff. And, of course, we will be doing our popular segment, Drinking News. Our Drinking News teaser headline for today is... A new wrinkle for support animals. So we'll get to all of that, and we will be back with our next segment in just a few moments, live from Casa de Monte Cristo on location in Houston. This is Smoking and Toasting. Welcome back. It's Smoking and Toasting. Our program is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars, all of which we have on our person.
I love those things.
Yes, we are excited to be here. We love doing the shows on location. But love being here because we love Casa de Monte Cristo. But we also just love being on location because we get to smoke during the show.
Yes.
Which, you know, we can't smoke in the studio, obviously. But we start talking about the cigars. You know, you're doing your cigar review, and I'm like, oh, my God, that sounds so good. And yet here we are without the ability to smoke. So today we can smoke, and that's a wonderful thing. I'm going to talk a little bit about cigars to watch for, and hopefully Josh can jump in and give us some further details on some of these, because you probably know about some of the things that are coming out. But the first one that I want to ask you about, I wonder, is this a cigar you guys will even bother with? It's the new celebrity cigar we probably didn't need from Dennis Rodman.
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Is he still a celebrity?
Well, I think once you've dated Carmen Electra, you get to continue to be a celebrity for the rest of your life.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, I read up on the cigar. I'm not familiar with the manufacturer, and it's a real limited edition.
Yeah, it's Dreamer Cigars, I believe.
I know he's a big time cigar smoker.
Yeah, he is. He is a big cigar fan. I did know that. And he's an interesting dude. Like, he really is. Like, I can't figure him out. I mean, just when you think you kind of got, oh, okay, he's kind of like that. Then he goes way over here for something else.
You never know what's happening.
Yeah, never know what's happening. He was a hell of a basketball player.
There is that.
I did get to see him play in Chicago with the Bulls one game. And it was just amazing to watch. That was quite a thing. But... I just don't know if we need a Dennis Rodman cigar. Do we really need that? I don't know. We may need it more than the pizza flavored beer that we talked about last week. Which, by the way,
pizza flavored.
I'd like to
beer.
Send this challenge out to anyone listening from any place where maybe from Colorado or California, where you may have a better shot at getting your hands on this new pizza flavored beer from Voodoo Ranger and Tombstone Pizza. We have to try one of these on the show, and they're going to be hard to find, at least in our area. So, if you can find one, reach out to me, st@rfcmedia.com. I'll send you the address. If you send me just one can of that beer, I will send you a care package of great Texas beers. The trade will be totally in your favor, because you'll be getting great beers from Texas. And I'll be getting a probably very questionable pizza flavored beer. But we really want to try it on the show. So that could be a hard thing to get our hands on. Maybe we'll reach out to Voodoo Ranger and see if they'll send this one. But in any case, please do. We would love for you to do that. Other cigars that are coming out, I understand there's going to be a new Padron. Do you know anything about this this new Padron Perfecto, which is the second one they've ever released that is going to be... The Padron's 60th anniversary? You know anything about that one yet?
Padron's 60th anniversary is kind of a Solomon shape.
Oh.
Their 80th anniversary was a box press Solomon shape. This one is not. There's one roller in the world that's making the cigar. So it's going to be limited, but as far as I know, a regular production, and I imagine you'll be able to find it at Monte Cristo.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. I want to try to figure out, though, if they've already released the 80th anniversary, how is this one the 60th anniversary? I don't understand the math.
80th was a tribute to Orlando Padron's 80th birthday.
Ah, okay,
this is
got
the 60th anniversary of the company.
Rocky does that, too. Like, he'll jump all around with the different anniversaries, but they are generally good cigars. Well, this is, from what I understand... It is going to be extremely limited, but it is going to—they're going to continue to make it. So,
yes.
As you were saying, right? So that's pretty exciting. I didn't mean to cut you off. We do have to take a break. We'll be back. We'll talk about this and more, and we'll taste our first beer, which I'm really excited about. This Wrist Rocket from Real Ale. It's an Imperial Blonde. So
that sounds awesome.
We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get a test. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's Smoking and Toasting on location at Casa de Monte Cristo in Houston, Texas, one of our favorite spots, enjoying some great cigars. We have guests on the program today, an invited guest, Josh Kane from Casa de Monte Cristo, and an uninvited guest, our good friend Alan Denning.
It amazes me how... I love you guys.
He's invited.
He knows he's always invited. He could podcast anytime he
If wants. Only Chris would come walking around the other corner.
See, Chris has basically disappeared from us. He used to be, like, you know, really concerned with how much time he versus you got on the show. But he's, you know, I think he's concerned with other things.
I do miss the Facebook Live and the guy that would come on and go, who cares about those guys?
Well, that's one of our guys. Another cigar to watch for. is from one of our favorite cigar makers, E.P. Carrillo. Ernesto Perez Carrillo is doing a Sumatra wrapper cigar, which is the first one from E.P. Carrillo. And it gets even better than that. It's the first release of something called the Essence Series, and they're going to be releasing periodically cigars with different wrappers in this same series, and the Sumatra is the first one. Now, unlike the Padron, which we were saying during the break, you think is probably going to be north of $35.
They haven't released the pricing, but for a cigar that shape that requires that kind of roller, and there's only, to my knowledge, one guy that's rolling it.
I'm going to point out, in their defense, that 45th anniversary that they have, which might be one of my favorite all-time cigars, is 34-ish, 35-ish. It's worth every penny. It's unbelievable.
I hear you. And sometimes you just got to treat yourself that way. You know?
And the Padron 80th Solomon is one of the finest cigars in the world.
And that one is, what, about...
35.
35, yeah.
And it's just incredible.
Well, the E.P. Carrillo Sumatra... is going to be a bit more affordable than that. It will be released as a 5x50 Toro, and it's about $9.25 suggested retail and $10 for the 6x52, and there'll even be a Gordo 6x60 for just under $11. So looking forward to that. I'm sure that's something you guys will have in stock, right?
I think so, and a lot of the stuff that EP has been putting out lately has just been awesome. You know, the Encore, the La Historia. I'm looking forward to the Encore Black. Pledge was fantastic.
There's a few cigar makers that, like, anytime they put something out, I'm just on it, and that's EP. So good.
For sure. And so you were an APC rep for a while.
I was.
And you, you know, you're still pretty high on their cigars.
Yes. Bought a box and split it with a dear friend that might be sitting among the four of us. We bought the Encore Black. And, you know, I bought one. We bought the box, and I bought one to smoke. And I went back over to the shop where I bought it at and bought everything they had.
Wow. From smoking the one?
And those are not cheap either. I haven't smoked one of mine yet. But
they're... absolutely fantastic. Yeah. I was wondering, because sometimes, you know, when a brand new cigar comes out, and I know there wasn't a ton of age on that cigar, I know for a fact, and, you know, with all the blending and everything that goes into it, I was curious, is this going to be great out of the box? You're going to let it rest for 6 months? It is one of the best cigars I've ever smoked in my entire life. So it is memorable.
So you guys split a box, is what you're telling me. So, Ian... remember when the AJ Fernandez Dorado line came out? And I said, you know, my friend and co-host Ian, I cannot abide with him not being able to taste this cigar. And I gave you one from my very small box of 10.
I think I smoked it while I was mowing the lawn or something.
Yeah, I think you probably did. We were talking about this cigar earlier during the break.
That's a fantastic
cigar. That is a wonderful
cigar,
and fantastic cigar. So I'm also... a fan of Tim Ozdener and the Ozdener family cigars. I've told the story before, but I got to meet him back when he and his father were doing CAO,
right,
and got to just chat with him for a while and just loved how passionate he was about cigars. So I was thrilled when he got kind of back into the cigar business. He's now rolling out a milder cigar. It'll be called the Fiersat, which is... means something. I have no idea what it means. But
The CAO and the Ozdener family stuff is not on the lighter side usually.
So. Yeah, generally speaking. Yeah. Now, there's some of those, the CAO had a couple of lighter cigars, and I think still do. But when you think of them today, you think of like the camshaft and some of those, you know, a little bit heftier things. But Tim says he's been kind of like on the road, sort of like promoting his brand and the Bosphorus, which is a great cigar. And he says that the comment that he's getting from consumers is they're also looking for something a little milder. And it makes me want to ask you, Josh, that, you know, we've obviously been smoking cigars for a while. Both Ian and I are kind of in the mild to medium camp, which I think is about where you land as well. But is there a larger demand, just in terms of cigar sales?
Hold on. I want to adjust what you said. The medium to full camp.
I'm sorry. What did I say?
You said mild to medium.
My bad. I meant medium to full.
Yes.
My mistake. Because I definitely am medium to full is my sort of sweet spot. But thank you for correcting. But is there a larger market for milder cigars than there is for ones that are kind of like where we have a tendency to go usually?
I think when you look at overall sales,
mm-hmm.
the milder cigars typically for most shops do better. A lot of cigar smokers kind of have a bell curve. They start mm-hmm. off with the milder stuff, medium stuff, they'll get to the full stuff, and if they continue to smoke cigars, they'll drift back down to the...
To more of a medium.
More of the mild to medium yeah. cigars. There was a trend a few years back where everybody was just putting out full body
cigars.
Huge,
yeah.
Non-stop. The chisel.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to have the strongest cigar and the darkest cigar.
Kind of like the IPA with the most hops.
I'm going
to
point out, by the way, that the LFD Triple Ligero was outrageously good.
Yeah, it was. And still is, I think. I mean,
they don't have that. They have the double Ligero still. They don't make the triple Ligero anymore, but it's outrageous. And just a quick aside, this Monte Cristo New York edition is a bit like a mocha frappuccino. It's coffee and chocolate and sweet and cedar, and it is absolutely delicious.
Well, I am getting a little bit of that vibe here on this one, the
19.
I'm not good with numbers. 18, I apologize.
19.
35.
The 1935. Thank you. But I'm also getting, there's like some leather and some almost oakiness to this as yeah. well, especially on the finish. It's got a little bit of that oaky, astringent finish. I really like it. But as I mentioned, these flavors just keep kind of weaving in and out, and you get a little more of each one each time. I'm loving this. And I think I've had this in a larger size before. I think I got two of them. Smoked one, and the other one's been in my humidor forever because I'm like sort of reserving it for that special occasion.
Special occasion.
You know, but so good to go back to this, and this has got every bit as much in the flavor department as the one that I remember smoking so far.
That one there's his full bodied, right. 1935. They released the Diamante edition.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. I haven't tried that yet.
Which is a different priming wrapper, and it's more on the medium to medium full side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not quite as stout as that one, and it's phenomenal, too. It's phenomenal.
I'm just glad I had lunch.
Mm. You know what's also quite good?
Yeah?
This beer.
Oh, you've been tasting it, and we haven't even like started talking about it yet.
Fair.
So. Our first beer.
I call it research.
That Ian is doing research on as we speak is from a really good brewery in Blanco, Texas, the Real Ale Brewery. Those guys really know what they're doing.
If you ever find yourselves in the central to west side of Texas, you should go by Real Ale Brewing. It is a beautiful facility,
and they make so many
and they make
really excellent beers.
Many good beers.
I don't mean this negatively in any way, but a more mainstream. Craft beer mm-hmm. company. In other words, they're not like always coming out with lots of crazy stuff. They seem to just really work on, you know, doing a really good lager.
But if you remember, really I think they may have started the craze for coffee porter, at least in this region.
Yeah, that may be true.
Their coffee porter is unbelievable, and they used to have a party for the release of it every year. I think it might be available all year now, but they used to throw a release party for that thing, which was epic.
I love that. This beer is an Imperial Blonde. Now, we're not used, this is what, like 8%?
Yeah, 8.5, yeah.
So we're not necessarily used to blonde ales being quite this big.
No.
And I was curious what you would think of this.
It is robust and beautiful, yet balanced without being a huge tasting beer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a strange thing, and it goes really well with the with cigars.
Yeah, much better. It goes really good with this cigar I'm doing.
much better than the cider did. Yeah. Terry, what cigar are you smoking over there behind?
I'm smoking a Oliva Nica Libra that was given to me by Ian a few weeks ago for some reason.
Those are good cigars.
Very nice.
What do you think of this Imperial Blonde?
This is fantastic. The nose on it was sweet. That's all I could say is it was sweet. But the taste of it, it's just got everything you want in a beer.
It's almost got like a honey apple taste to it. It's really delicious.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
And it's got a bitter crisp finish on it. in the best possible way that makes you go, I really kind of want some more of that.
Mm-hmm. And very different. Look, by the way, apparently a wrist rocket, according to the little illustration on the can, is a slingshot. That's what that is. There is a slingshot. So my mind immediately went to, you know, far more adult
conversation about the
usage. Yes,
about the shake weight and everything else. Exactly. Yeah, there's not a lot about a bunch of information on this other than that. But yeah, their beers are just, I mean,
consistently good. Like, yeah. I don't know if I've ever had a real ale of any kind that I didn't think
their
was
crispy business.
Good. Oh yeah,
is out. Like, if you want a light, crispy summer style beer, that's an absolute go-to.
So, and if you do find yourself in the Texas Hill Country, you definitely should go visit them, because it's a it could make for a wonderful afternoon.
Yep.
Still to come on the program, we'll be trying from the UFO Beer Company their main blueberry ale. They're out of Boston and Vermont, and from Four Fathers Brewing. And I know you're excited about just the title of this, the Imperial Stout called Barrel-Aged Valhalla.
I love that.
and we'll be trying some Puerto Rican rum.
That's like a Dio lyric or something like that.
Terry, how are we doing on time for this segment?
We've still got 3
still minutes. Okay, good. I don't have my usual clock in front of me, so I'm guessing a little bit. Yeah, guessing a little bit here. I would ask you, Josh, how often do you guys, I realize probably a lot after the big PCA trade show, but just in a normal month, middle of the summer, how often do you guys bring in a new cigar or a new line? Is it something that happens every month, every week? Does it happen in clusters and then, you know, takes a while? If I'm coming in looking for something I've never seen before, how often am I likely to do that?
Obviously, after the trade show, there's a ton of new stuff,
mm-hmm.
and the buyers kind of choose what we bring in. But on a regular basis, in a big shop like this, every week to two, we're always getting new product.
Yeah. You
always
have an enormous humidor. How many faces do you have in there, just on a kind of guess?
I know we've got 1,500 SKUs in the system, and they're obviously not on the shelf at all times.
Right, and some of them might, you know, not be producing anymore or whatever.
But. Right, but in terms of selection, I mean, it's just limitless what you can find.
Yeah,
you know,
tons
with regards
of stuff
to new stuff, if I'd say every week or every 2 weeks, we're going to have something new. It might be a line extension, it might be a new size, but there's always new stuff. We kind of try to feature it.
I love that you guys also do it. Like, right when I walk in the humidor, I always know those end caps right there. If I'm looking for something new to see what's fun and just came out, you guys always have something there. Or if someone put out something, you have a little tag on saying, hey, I'm new, you know.
Yeah,
that's really cool. But I also noticed, and I want to talk about this a little bit maybe in the next segment, because we're going to run out of time in a minute here, but you guys have a table set up right now that has all the employees here, like cigar picks.
Ooh, I love that.
That's a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah. If you get to know what one of the staff member likes, it can kind of guide you to something, because we all like different things.
Yeah.
We just all do. Some people like the really heavy stuff. Some people like the milder stuff. Some people like the more boutique stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of gives the customers a guide where to go. If you get to know your tobacconist, that's the best way to learn cigars. Get to know your tobacconist, and he'll guide you.
And I always say that about shops like yours. One of the things I love is that if I come in, or maybe somebody comes in to buy, my mother-in-law comes here to buy cigars for me for Christmas every year. Because she always says, what do you want for Christmas? And I always say, just buy me cigars. Yeah. And so she comes here, and I've managed to tell her one or two things that she can remember that I like. And one of your guys will then say, oh, well, then he would probably like this and this and this.
Absolutely.
And she comes with the best little package of cigars for me every
it's
year.
Beautiful.
And it's a wonderful thing. All right, we do have to take that break that Ian was mentioning, but we will be back. There's more to taste, more cigar talk, and we're also going to tell you, we're going to ask you a question about craft beer. Has craft beer become cringe? Talk about that when we come back. Welcome back, my friends. It is Smoking and Toast, and our show is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. It's show number 373, and we are on location at one of our favorite places to smoke, Casa de Monte Cristo in Houston, joined by Josh Kane of Casa de Monte Cristo, and joined by our good friend Alan Denny.
It's a pleasure to be
back on the show.
Man, it's a pleasure to be here. We're halfway to 400. Can you believe it?
Thank you for figuring that out.
If you do the math, it's 300 and what now?
373 today.
If you divide that down to start, it's halfway to 400, just about.
Good to know.
And it's close though. You have to estimate a little bit, you know, round it up.
I don't normally do a lot of math, but I was with a buddy of mine earlier this week who is really good at such things and does calculations in his head, that type of thing. And I told him about how we were doing our 373rd show this week and how you'd gone to the trouble to, you know, figure out that that was halfway to 400. And he told me something fascinating.
What's that?
Next week, for show number 374, according to my friend, we'll be halfway to 500.
Oh.
So, wow. Mind blown. Yeah, I have some very strange friends, by the way, as evidenced by the one holding the ukulele right now, because we're going to talk about this very interesting article that I read on InsideHook.com, pretty cool website. They have articles about all kinds of things, leisure and wellness and culture. But they wrote an article that came out just about a week ago, and the title of the article is Craft Beer Cringe Right Now? Years ago, the subtitle says, loving an IPA meant you were hip. What happened? And it goes on to say that the whole idea of craft beer has now become, to some degree, mocked by some generations. It's far from, you know, immune from the cyclical nature of what's in and what's out. And we've seen the industry struggle a little bit in the last few years as other forces have come to bear on it. But we've also seen that the younger generation, according to this article, hold a comedy-tinted mirror up to the craft beer lifestyle. They say, take the Gen Z kids of craft beer dads, the kids roasting the dad's untapped habits on TikTok, or elsewhere on TikTok. They talk about the craft beer fan, the ones who are probably a little annoying at parties.
That's,
you know,
because
bearded straight white guy with a love for a great porter or IPA.
That's Gen Z kids making fun of somebody who actually has a hobby in their life, who actually does something. Anyway, sorry.
Well, look, it's obviously not cringe to
something
take your
not
job.
On social media.
Yeah, right.
It's obviously not cringe to take your job seriously. The article says if you make beer or work with it, it's not cringe to enjoy craft beer, learn about it, and help foster the community aspect of it. And breweries who make a balance of what brewers and consumers want to drink, sans judgment or snark, and who are more invested in creating an engaging third place, not cringe. But what is it about craft beer that makes it an easy punching bag on TikTok?
Oh, because it's ubiquitous. Like, it's become something that everybody knows about a little bit now. And so what happens is, like, and it's not a fad. Because it's been going on for, what, 20 years now?
Right,
like,
right.
Super strong 20 years
right.
now.
It went through
and
incredible bubbling, growth before it kind of slowed
and,
down
and
a little
bubbling
bit.
Up before that. So it's it, and it's not like, oh, I don't know. What do you call it? Sparkling.
Oh, sparkling.
White claw things
right,
and stuff.
Right, yeah.
I think that we saw that have a rise and fall pretty quick. It's not
pretty
like
quickly,
a lot,
right.
It's not well, like a lot of those sparkling drinks, a lot of fads like that.
The craft beer thing reminds me a lot of the cigar boom. If you remember back in the 90s when all of a sudden cigars became so hip and everybody was smoking cigars, people that had never smoked cigars before. And that boom lasted, what would you say, Josh? 3 years maybe?
Maybe a little longer than 3 years.
But when it sort of died down, it left cigar smoking, which maybe had been here, and the boom took it way up here, and it leveled off and went down a little bit, but stayed at a much higher rate.
Right.
And what happened was, because there was so much more interest, so many more boutique cigar brands were born,
right.
So many people started doing so much more interesting things with cigars. I mean, a company like an E.P. Carrillo didn't even exist prior to the boom. And they didn't come out in the boom, but it was because of the interest level that remained once the boom was over, that you could get great cigars in any cigar shop. And now you can get great craft beers at any place that bothers to stock more than just, you know, Michelob Ultra and Bud Light.
Yeah, and craft beer has come to the point, well, I'll talk about it when we get done with the break here, but craft beer has become a force to be reckoned with.
Hey, at least people aren't just making it in their garage. I mean, that's when it started. People were just making it in their garage all the time. Now it's where they can distribute it, you know?
And I had some of that beer that was made in people's garages. And let me say, I'm glad that slightly bigger boys are making it. We're going to be right back at Smoking and Toasting. Thank you for hanging with us in our first hour. Lots more to come, including sampling and drinking news. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Hour 2 of Smoking and Toasting, number 373. My name is Cruz. My guest, or my host, my co-host, is Ian Barry. We have Terry Michaels on the Wheels of Steel.
What's it?
Making it happen. And our guest for this week, Mr. Alan Denny, friend of the show.
Pleasure
and,
to be here.
And, of course, Josh Kane from here at Casa de Monte Cristo, which is where we're doing the show on location today. We're smoking. We were talking in the last segment about craft beer being cringe, and we talked about how the craft beer boom has had the impact, now that it's kind of over, the boom part of it, now that it's kind of over, has left craft beer at a place where it is so much more ubiquitous. You can get a good beer at a basketball game. If you go to a Rockets game, you can get a Art Car IPA
I'm still a little sad, though, when I go into certain restaurants, and you can, like, places that'll have 20 taps and still only have like the absolute minimum of what you could call a craft beer, and it's always an IPA, which that just drives me nuts.
Well, we always talk about Buffalo Wild Wings, who their slogan should be 22 beers on tap and two good ones.
Yes,
you know, but the reality is that, and I complain at places where, you know, I'll go to really nice restaurants, and their craft beer selection is sad.
Abysmal.
But it's also notable how many of them that I go to here in Houston that will have a Lone Pine IPA or something from Lagunitas or, you know, something that is really, really, and some will even have, you know, something like this from our friends at True Anomaly. So it's definitely taken it to another place, that craft beer boom. And it's better, certainly, than it used to be for finding a good beer.
I've been out to Minute Maid. Minute Maid's got fairly decent craft beer selection. We went to Rodeo Houston, and the closest thing you could get to a craft beer there was Shiner. And it was hard to find Shiner. We couldn't find Shiner until we went inside the stadium.
At Minute Maid Park, where the Astros play, there's actually a St. Arnold in there, which is great.
They actually have a couple, like, they've come up a little bit, like, the ball games have come up a little bit, and you can find them. You have to go a long way for it. Like, I think the one at the, there's a craft beer store-ish place over by left field, like, with third floor up or something like that. But
we've talked a lot about the boom, and we talked a little bit about the cigar boom. And, Josh, you had some insight as to why the cigar boom back in the 90s actually happened in the first place.
You know, when Cigar Aficionado came out.
The magazine.
Mm-hmm. You've got celebrities. You've got athletes. You've got actors. All of a sudden,
they've had Michael Jordan and other people on the cover.
Yeah, Michael Jordan, Rush Limbaugh, Arnold, you know, all these.
Demi Moore made national news when they put her on the cover of Cigar Aficionado in 97, 98.
And it kind of made cigar smoking, you know, it made it more
cool.
It made it kind
hipper
of cool.
Or more ubiquitous.
Cool,
at least.
Yeah. This is a thing that people actually do and don't have to hide.
Right, and it wasn't just
unless you're in California.
It wasn't just something that, you know, your old Uncle John did and smoked really disgusting rum runners or something, you know?
These aren't your granddad's swishers.
You had Opus X come out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you think of, you know, the brand that was made famous during the boom, Opus X.
Right.
You're asked about Opus X every day.
Yeah.
And when they hit the shelf, there's like a line out the door to get Opus X.
Well, still to this day, there's a limit. Like, you get Opus X in, it's still a deal, and you always have a sign that says, like, limit two per person, so someone doesn't come in and snap up the whole box and no one else can have
it. Right. You know, and it's an awesome cigar.
It really is.
And then you have you know, brands after that, like Diamond Crown, came out, and they still make incredible cigars to this day. And there was a lot of brands that came out during the boom that kind of faded away.
Yep.
You know, faded away. But
what survived it, though, left us in a much better place. And I know for a while there was a shortage of good tobacco because of the boom.
Exactly.
But once that kind of corrected, things got really better.
Yeah, and it forced the manufacturers to put out really good stuff. Not just to put out new stuff, to put out really good stuff. And you kind of saw that in 2019 and 2020 when there's a shortage of tobacco. Everybody's working from home. Everybody's smoking cigars at home. Everything is... You know,
man, I smoked down my whole humidor that year.
I remember you talking about that. You're like, I got like two cigars left in my humidor.
Hey, well, I started with the bottom drawer and I smoked all those. And then I went to the second drawer because I had like four drawers in my humidor, right? By the time I got to the top drawer, every cigar I smoked was $20 plus.
Yeah, I was going to say, when my humidors get low, I have the two ends of the spectrum. I have the really great ones that I've been saving.
Right.
And the ones that I bought for, like, smoking in the car with the top down that are maybe El Cheapos, you know? And that's what I go back and forth with until I kind of stock up with more of the middle stuff. So.
But even the El Cheapo factory smoke from Jura Strait, which is a great $2.50 cigar, depending on which. Those are on back order. A bunch of the sizes stayed on back order. Yeah. They were difficult to get.
And those came about... Because the factory rollers that were rolling for Drew Estate were smoking too many of the cigars that were in high demand. It wasn't that they didn't want to let them smoke a good cigar. They were smoking too many of the cigars that were in high demand, and they were having trouble, you know, meeting the orders. So they had the cigar rollers come up with their own sort of blend, these factory
smokes. Well, there's a parallel in the way that it works, you know, like, craft beer had its boom, right? Mm-hmm. And before that, you know, the thing everyone used to say is you can't get a good beer unless you're, you know, in Europe or in Germany or Belgium or something, right? And now those breweries are brewing American styles.
Mm-hmm.
Like those
the ones
breweries
in Europe,
are brewing American styles. That's how far we've come with the craft beer. You know, before the cigar boom, the only quote-unquote good cigars you could get came from Cuba, right? That's what the people would say all the time. And people are realizing that's not really true.
Like,
I mean, Cubans make great cigars, and they also make bad cigars. You know, just like Germans make great beer, and if you've ever had Beck's, you know that German makes bad beer.
Well, you know, it happened right after the boom. The same thing that has happened with craft beer. We've seen it. You've talked about it numerous times on the show. The little craft beers that are fantastic getting bought up by InBev and some of the others.
Sure.
That happened after the cigar boom. Some of the big companies, Altadis, Scandinavian Tobacco, they bought up Ernesto's company, and you know, he had to work for them, and he had a non-compete for years and couldn't open his own thing again until 08, but
you think about like Camacho from Christian Arroyo, a fabulous cigar, got bought, and the same thing that happened to CAO when the Osterners sold it, the quality suffered for a while.
Yeah, so did Camacho badly.
Really did. Now, I will say that both of those cigar companies have come back pretty substantially. Yep. There are some great CAOs, there are some great Camachos available now, and the quality... Even just the quality of the rolling of the cigars itself has gotten better. But they both suffered. I wish we would see that trend in craft beer. I wish that Carbach, which they still make good beers, but some of their outstanding stuff either has gone away or isn't
changed.
As good as it used to be. I talk all the time about the Big and Bright, their very grapefruity, citrusy IPA. They, if my understanding of this is correct, they were told by AB InBev, you're using too much grapefruit. It's too expensive. And they had to cut back on the grapefruit.
Yeah.
And it's still not a bad beer if you can find it. But it's not as great as it once was. Same story with your favorite Carbach. Which was,
They had the sympathy for the lager. And as soon as AB InBev bought it, they're like, no, we got lager covered, I think. Now, I don't know that actually happened. But I do know that when AB InBev bought them, they immediately stopped making that beer. And that was a fantastic beer.
Look at Goose Island. Their bourbon barrel things that they do every year are still absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
But a Goose Island IPA is not nearly as good as it once was.
Well, even the stuff I can remember 5 years ago, Goose Island, the bourbon barrel aged stout that they would put out, there would be lines for that. You could, it, 2 days after it was released, it was gone.
Yeah.
You can go into HEB or Specs and find bottle after bottle after bottle.
You can find different years of it. Used to be the only place you could even find something like that would have been D&Q Mart, which is a great little store we talked about in a break. Here in Houston, over off of Richmond, just east of Montrose, they had he was like one of the only places where you could find that kind of stuff. You know?
Well, the difference with them versus cigars, Fuente started the Opus X, which today, if you put a box on your humidor right now, you would have guys in here lined up to get that cigar.
Right.
But InBev increased their production, so it took the notoriety away. Yeah, the special where I can go get that anytime I want at the grocery store versus Opus X, where they kept that still limited.
Yeah. Now, there is one trend in craft beer that's gone the opposite way of being acquired by the big guys, and I fully applaud this, and that is a number of breweries that have decided they were going to sell to their employees.
Yeah.
And they became employee-owned. And one of those is the brewery that turned me on to IPAs and turned me on to craft beer in general back when I started my craft beer journey, and that's Harpoon Brewery out of Boston. They're now employee-owned, and they have a separate line that they market completely separate without the Harpoon name on it that is UFO. And UFO has a tendency to do Hefeweizens and wheat beers and a lot of beers that
UFO started off as one of their beers, right?
And that's correct. When they it was their Hefeweizen.
And then they turned it into the line.
And so now, and we had several months ago a UFO fruit flavored beer, like a triple berry, that was just absolutely outstanding. So that's what made me pick up this Maine blueberry UFO.
It says a refreshingly crisp and subtly sweet blueberry ale. I've already done some research on this.
Yes.
It's delicious.
There was a time when I really did not like fruit-flavored beers. Now, it was one thing if you had citrus hops and were using that for a citrus thing. But any beer that you know, I think back to some of the lambics and stuff that I tried early on that had fruit in them, I just wasn't a fan.
I can do some of those.
They've figured some of these out.
This is great, though. This is not sweet. This is blueberry. It's essence of blueberry, and it's beer.
Wonderful.
I love blueberry flavored things.
I love blueberries.
This is themselves. Really good.
Blueberries are one of the coolest snacks you can eat because they're actually so good for you that it kind of counteracts any of the you know eating that you may be doing.
They have a Chex blueberry, and it's very hard to find, and I just found it again at HEB. And you know what? This has a little Chex blueberry type flavor to it. It's really good. Yeah.
So this is UFO, which is a division of Harpoon, employee owned, and doing a fine, fine job with their very interesting and unique beers that they have.
Yeah, and this was coming in very sessionable at 4.3, I believe is what it says. It's a little blurry on
that's good.
So.
Yeah, it's good enough that I've really just finished mine. That's really outstanding. Oh, there's more.
There might be a sip left.
Well, I'll take that sip.
There you go, sir.
Thank you very much. Dustin, have there been any sort of like boomlets since the cigar boom sort of leveled off back from the 90s? Have there been periods where cigars have had a little, you know, sort of mini boom?
Drew Estate,
yeah,
like you guys mentioned, Liga Privada.
When those came out, when they started there.
And they're still hot to this day.
Those Ligas are good.
They just got a new one out. I saw y'all have it in the humidor here.
Drew Estate started with the acid line, which was infused.
Right.
Do those still sell today?
Absolutely.
But Drew Estate now, of course, has done a whole other collection of cigars that are not infused, that are more just regular tobacco stuff, but people are still fans of the acid. I still smoke one from time to time. I know some cigar purists that won't do that. But
no, it's got its place. They have I can't think of what they call the line, but the Crazy Alice, cigars
Deadwood.
Are just Deadwood. The Deadwoods.
Yeah.
Those cigars just
sell like crazy.
Our wives love them.
Yeah. Well, it's something, like you said, it has a time and place. I enjoy those from time to time, but man, you cannot get away from the fact that Drew Estate is making some of the better cigars that are made today.
Oh, yeah.
If you get somebody that wants to try a cigar, Drew Estate has They're infused, and the Deadwoods are an absolute go-to.
Well, I'm going to get some cigar recommendations from you when we come back. We have to take a break. We also have drinking news on the way and more to sample, including in our next segment, a little Puerto Rican rum, Ron de Barrilito. This guy Ron makes a lot of rum, doesn't he? We'll be right back. It's Smoking and Toast. Welcome back, my friends. It's Smoking and Toasting. Our show is all about craft beer, fine spirits.
Oh, fine spirits.
That's your cue. Ooh, nice. Ooh, fine spirits and hand-rolled cigars. And here on Smoking and Toasting, I will remind you that when it comes to our sound effects, we spare every expense. We have authentic.
When you hear a bottle open, it's actually us opening a bottle. We sacrifice a bottle or a can every single time you hear it. And I noticed, by the way, when I opened this, I noticed that you had very carefully taken away the clear wrap that would have been around there.
Well,
and you also cleared the neck a little bit so as to make sure that we don't have any spills and things like that. And I appreciate your attention to detail when you bring
I knew that we were going liquors. To be at Casa de Monte Cristo this week. And I'm sure they have certain OSHA requirements for safety and things that are important that they, that they're able to, you know, maintain. And so I wanted to make sure we were in compliance.
Well, I can tell you when I opened it, there was no paper or plastic cuts on my finger.
Yep.
And also, because the bottleneck was cleared down to a certain amount, there's no spillage whatsoever.
I live to serve. That's all I can tell.
I just want to say thank you for your services.
I just, during the break, I lit my second cigar. And in fairness to me, the first one was a short one. The second cigar is another Casa exclusive. I was wondering if you could tell me about this one, Josh. This is a Liga Privada, which I can tell by the little lion emblem on here. But it's called the Porchetta. What can you tell me
about
this?
So that is part of the Liga Privada, the Unico series. It is a Casa de Monte Cristo exclusive Liga called the Porchetta.
Mm-hmm. So you can't get a Porchetta anywhere other than at Casa, is that right?
That's right. I believe it translates, I could be wrong, I believe it translates to like pork tenderloin or something like that. I believe it uses
introducing yet another really delicious thing. And there is, by the way, a certain sort of meaty, savory quality to this cigar.
And I think there's some Brazilian tobacco in that. I could be wrong, but I think it's Brazilian tobacco with some Nicaraguan fillers. Medium full, and it's a unique kind of soft box press.
Yeah, you're Liga. Right. It's box press, but it's a little rounded at the corner.
It stands out next to the other Ligas as well.
And it's got a sort of a tapered head on it.
You know, yes.
It's not exactly a bellicoso, but it's got a little taper to it.
Well, so far, I will tell you it's delicious and completely different from the last cigar that I had. Completely
so
different.
Look at the tube that this comes in, man. This is fantastic looking.
That's looking good.
Rondo Barrilito.
Barrilito.
Brand Superior Especial.
And by the way, that's Spanish for Ron of Barrilito.
It's pretty good. Your Spanish translation is.
I'm getting better.
Quite adept.
I'm getting better.
So
have you had a chance to do any research?
I did a research while you were talking over there, this is delicious.
Yeah, it's really wonderful on the nose. I wouldn't know if it's delicious or not, so I should try.
No, of course. Like when you cleared the bottleneck, you
I just poured that out.
Right, just
for your homies,
the angel
into
share.
A glass
for the homies.
But I poured it out. Yeah.
And then you had to empty the glass, of course, and you can't let that. No, this is fantastic. I love how it has a very mineral right up front, and then it goes into a very classic rum. With the dark molasses kind of flavors. And then it has a little bit of heat right there at the back of the palate, but it's in such a pleasant way. Like you want this sitting around a fire kind of thing.
This is 86 proof. It is Puerto Rican rum. And I don't know if we've tried a Puerto Rican rum on the show. Have we?
We've tried a lot. I would say the chances are high, but this is fantastic.
You've got 373 show notes to go through to find out if you have Puerto Rican rum.
If only there was some sort of a search bar where I could type in Puerto Rico and see if any of the show comes up.
Beautiful golden color.
Yeah,
it really is
beautiful. And I'll tell you, completely unplanned, it works wonderfully with this Porchetta.
It works wonderfully with this cigar as well.
All right. Well, we've reached that time where we have to take a break, but it's an important break because we have to get ready for the most popular segment on this program, a little thing we like to call drinking news, and it's coming up next. It's Smoking and Drinking. Welcome back. It is Smoking and Toasting. Our program is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. It's show number 373. We are on location at Casa de Monte Cristo, one of our favorite places. And I haven't come here and just hung out in too long. I got to just come back. We just need to meet up over here one afternoon for
cigars. This place is fun. It's got a lot of personality. Mm-hmm. The regulars are fun to hang out with. I think I'm almost a regular now. I come in here like once a week at least.
And even like today, I'll bring the rum.
That's pretty darn good
this
rum.
This is really good rum, yeah, isn't it? We're still really, really enjoying this. So, did you weigh in on the rum? What did you think?
It's fantastic.
Rum good?
Rum good.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, I'm glad that we have been enjoying some of this rum and some of these beers, because Drinking News is the segment on the program where we bring you a story from the news. It actually was reported somewhere. It's not a parody. It's not from The Onion. It was actually reported from somewhere. And these are stories that are sometimes, but not always, about drinking. But they're always best enjoyed if you've been drinking. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Drinking News.
Drinking news, drinking news. Now it's time for drinking news. Drinking news. Drinking news.
Feel free to sing along.
Now it's time for drinking news. A Florida man with one arm said he had a gator for a pet. When asked about his absent arm, he said,
I had to take my gator to the vet.
Drinking news. Drinking news. Now it's time for drinking news.
Cheers, y'all.
Thank you. I was drinking. Well, to fully appreciate today's drinking news story, you may need a little more information. Unless you live or have driven through Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee, Florida, or Texas. Just in our home state of Texas, where Ian and I live, there are 34 locations of the best thing to ever happen to gas stations and convenience stores. I'm talking, of course, about Buc-ee's.
Buc-ee's is amazing.
These guys have revolutionized the convenience store, and they've turned each location into a sprawling store bigger than a Best Buy, with snacks, prepared foods, drinks, jerky, and everything from feed for your horses to propane tanks and amazing fancy grills. By the way, people in Texas, some of them do have horses. They don't necessarily ride them to work, but they do have them. These are all celebrated and sold under the banner of a really ridiculous-looking Buc-ee Beaver, which is so popular that people buy and proudly wear it on T-shirts, socks, baby clothes, and even underwear.
I was using a blanket today that has the Buc-ee Beaver on it.
You're a fan of Buc-ee's, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. It's FYI, the cheapest place to buy batteries, especially in bulk,
is
Buc-ee's.
Gas, usually, too.
Going to Buc-ee's is a bit like a religious experience, especially after you've been stuck in your car on the road for hours. And they have, by the way, the cleanest restrooms I've ever seen in my life. Anyone who's ever had to use the toilet at a grungy mobile station knows how big of a deal this actually is. But you better not be claustrophobic, because every Buc-ee's I've ever been to is jam-packed with customers. Too many to count. I guess that's why there are something like 71 urinals in the men's room. You can always find one, even though it's packed with people waiting to pee, like the restroom at a John Mellencamp concert right after he's announced from the stage, I'm going to do one of my new songs now. I can only imagine, though, that managing a store like that, that's constantly filled with surging throngs of customers, can be a bit of a challenge.
Throngs, I like that.
Which is why I applaud the recent stance that the Buc-ee's company has taken about one of my personal pet peeves, emotional support animals. Now, let me say, I have nothing against the animals. I love animals of all kinds, and not just dogs and cats. My issue is with the people who seem to think that the only way that they can go through life and not have a breakdown of some sort every 15 minutes is by taking along their emotional support nanny goat with them everywhere they go. And that's why here at Drinking News, we do applaud Buc-ee's for not only their delicious chopped brisket sandwiches, but also for the fact that they recently banned a Tennessee man for life.
I don't have a song for Tennessee man. I'm not sure what it would be.
There's that old country song, Tennessee River. Was that an Alabama song? Tennessee man? I don't know. Anyway, they recently banned a Tennessee man for life from any Buc-ee's location.
Wow, what do you have to do to get banned for life from Buc-ee's?
Justin Wood of Tennessee was blacklisted by Buc-ee's for bringing his emotional support animal with him into the store.
Was it a cute little puppy
please
dog?
Please tell me it was a cow.
A service pet known as Wrinkle the Duck. According to a video posted on YouTube, the Tennessee man and his duck shopped around the store and received plenty of attention from shoppers who wanted to pet Wrinkle and ask questions. The video shows that Wrinkle remained inside a baby stroller for most of the visit, occasionally coming out to high-five interested onlookers with her beak. Now look, if you've been to a psychiatrist and they've recommended that you get a pet to help you deal with anxiety, go for it. I mean, there's very few things more calming than petting a dog or even a cat. Cats love to be petted, and they will actually temporarily suspend their musings about just exactly how they plan to kill you in your sleep if you scratch behind their ears for
that's
a little
right.
while.
That's but right. What this kind is a stay of execution every time you scratch the cat's ears.
But what kind of emotional support can you get from a duck?
Whack.
I mean, even in fiction, they're not much help. Daffy Duck's like an insult comic with a serious speech impediment, and Donald Duck's impossible to understand. Plus, he wears a shirt and a hat, but no pants.
There's the Aflac thing.
Yeah, he makes you feel good about things, right?
But seriously, how does carting around Wrinkle the Duck, which sounds more like a Kama Sutra position than an animal, help when you're starting to feel anxious? I'd really like to know. But even though I agree...
I'm just at home cuddling with my duck.
Even though I agree with Buc-ee's banning Justin and Wrinkle, this duck is actually not the most absurd animal that people have claimed they should be allowed to bring into an establishment or on board public transportation under the guise that they are service or emotional support animals. In fact, some of these are so disturbing that we've gone to the trouble, which I know you will not thank me for, to put together for you a special Drinking News top 5 list of actual instances that people have tried to pass off an unusual companion as a service animal.
For sensitive listeners, you can't unhear this. You might want to lower the radio.
Yep, that's right. These are real occurrences. Well, all of them are except for one, which I made up. See if you can tell which one it is. These are the top 5 minus 1 real attempts to claim that their non-human companion was actually a service animal. Top 5. Number 5. The Wisconsin woman who was asked to leave a McDonald's when she sauntered up to the counter, with Jimmy, her emotional support kangaroo.
Kangaroos are gnarly animals.
Wow.
Number 4, Megan Curran, a teenager from Waco, Texas, who has a bearded dragon she depends on for anxiety relief. Bearded dragons are scaly reptiles from the lizard species that have a set of spiny spikes beneath their chin that looks kind of like a beard. That's number 4. Number 3, Wall-E, spelled like the robot from the animated kids movie, W-A-L-E, who is George Tucker from Sarasota, Florida's emotional support gator.
Florida man.
Number 2, a woman who was booted from a U.S. Airways flight in 2014 because her emotional support animal, her service animal, became disruptive. An 80-pound emotional support pig.
Oh, boy.
And the number 1 real attempt to pass off a non-human companion as a service animal. Number 1, a woman who was denied entry to a United Airlines flight in 2018 after attempting to board the plane with her emotional support peacock. Reporting live from the airport, where I just don't understand why they won't let me on the plane with little Peter Parker, My emotional support tarantula. My name is Cruz, and that is your
drinking news. Drinking news. That's our time for drinking news.
Look, there shouldn't be a support animal in the thing that you might say. That you might say, hey, wait a second, everybody. I can't find my support animal, and it causes a ruckus on the plane. That shouldn't be allowed.
Little Peter Parker, where have you gone?
Snakes.
That kangaroo story was not true, was it?
Actually, it was. The one I made up was Wally Gator.
Oh, Wally Gator.
Yeah, the others were actual instances that I was able to find verification of. That actually happened.
I would have thought the gator was legit. I was sitting there thinking the bearded dragon wasn't real.
I'm crafty like that.
You are?
Yeah. You know, living in East Texas, there was a point in time in my life where I looked out the front door in the house where, or front window in the house where I grew up, and I wasn't exactly sure what to do, so I called the police station. And the lady said, is there an emergency? I said, it's not really an emergency, but there is a gator in my front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, huh, we'll send someone out. We're not sure what to do about that.
It can't be the first time they'd ever had that call. Can't
gator in the front yard.
I would like to be the cop that was like, yeah, no. How many cops passed on
I
that?
I also had to make the call a few times. There is a herd of cattle in the front yard.
Yeah.
And their response usually was, well, whose cattle is it? And my answer was, I'm not entirely sure. But there's like 3 or 4 ranches right around here, and we lived right in town.
Yeah. Well, I will just mention that when I made up the one, which was the Florida man and his gator, I did think about making it a story from Liberty, Texas, but I knew that then that you would probably that was the one I made up just because that's, you know, where Hughes was raised.
A Liberty man.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That would be pretty entertaining.
Liberty
interestingly
man.
Enough, Ian and my wife's best friend are both from Liberty, Texas. And I've been to Liberty, Texas.
I knew her
Texas.
In high school.
I've been to Liberty, Texas, and I never intend to go back. I'm just saying.
And apparently it's such a big, sprawling place that even Ian knew her in high school.
Yeah, exactly. He probably knew. It was like, I went to such a small high school, I knew everybody.
My graduating class was about 150 people.
You got me beat. Mine was 58.
Well, that's a very small town.
That's Lytle, Texas, ladies and gentlemen.
My son goes to Wisdom over here. I think there must be 1,000 people in each grade.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ian has now opened, and I see it like sitting in the top of the can like a viscous can of motor oil. He has now opened the Valhalla Imperial Stout. This is
my kind of beer right here.
Yeah, this is a stout from forefathers, as in F-O-U-R, forefathers.
Like five brewing. Guys, but forefathers, four daddies.
Yeah, that's right. So while he's pouring that, I wanted to ask you, if someone comes into the store and they say, hey, I want to buy a really special cigar for someone, I'll spend $30 to $40.
Sure.
What are a handful of cigars that you would recognize? Okay, something really special in that kind of price range. Where are people going to get the bang for their buck?
What I would try to do is try to narrow down the occasion. Is it a birthday? Is it a graduation?
Right.
You know, is it a Christmas gift? And
is
let's
it
say
Friday.
Yeah. And then you could always ask them, are there anything in the past that you've seen that this person might like? And if they say, I don't know, I'm just buying a cigar for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But you can ask some questions to find out what they may like. Do they drink coffee?
Right.
Do they drink it black? Do they like it with cream and sugar? Do they like the Starbucks stuff?
Love how detailed you would get for this.
You could say, what kind of desserts do they like? If they're like, well, he likes vanilla ice cream, or, you know, he likes the fruity stuff, or does he like Dutch chocolate? You know, would he drift towards steaks, or would he like, you know, is he more into like salmon and vegetables? You can kind of narrow down somebody's palate.
Mm-hmm.
And once you kind of narrow it down in that price range, we carry the full line of Davidoff. Mm-hmm. We carry the full line of Fuente. Obviously all the Drew Estates and Padron. you know, and you can normally pick out a really special cigar, Davidoff, Padron, Fuente, and then we've got the high-end Altadis cigars on the shelf as well. And, you know, are they looking just for the packaging, or are they looking for, like, something really special? If you happen to have some Ligas in the back, you might have some Opus X, you might have some...
Got a Fire, maybe?
Got a Fire, yeah, that's a good one. And Davidoff has always got the special releases, you know, and the Zodiac releases.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Those are really hot. And then especially this time of year, right after the trade show, you'll get the real limited edition stuff.
Love
it. You can kind of narrow it down.
All right, I've taken a sip of this stout, and we have to talk about it. So we'll do that in the segment when we return, because we got to take a break. Let's smoke and toast, and we'll be right back.
Awesome.
Welcome back, my friends. I am enjoying the hell out of this pancetta. Porchetta.
Porchetta.
Pancetta is a different thing, but this is really, really good. And I have a feeling it's going to go well with what I just tasted at the end of the last segment.
So I have been doing some research on this particular liquid, and it is outrageously good. This is the barrel aged.
I just want to point out that Terry was the only one who
caught that.
That caught my my joke. Well, maybe you did. You're smiling. I said, "Speak to me, breathe."
Pink Floyd.
It's a Pink Floyd joke.
The two-part song that they play.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
This is the barrel-aged Valhalla Imperial style with lactose, honey, vanilla, coconut, and cacao. And it is all of those things wrapped up in a most beautiful motor oil-ish mouthfeel delivery system.
Maybe one of the most viscous beers we've ever had. It's just as thick as it. It's almost like, it's like one step below drinking the Hershey syrup from the can.
It says, not all beers are created equal on here. And then it says, the forefathers of beer, water, malt, hops, and yeast.
Mm. What's the ABV on that?
Let's see. Brewed and canned by forefathers. Let's see. 2023. Keep cold, drink fresh. You know, one pint. I'm not seeing an ABV on
see if
here.
I can.
They're scared.
It's probably terrifying because it tastes quite boozy. So I don't think they have it on the can at all. But this is outrageous.
Do you not have to put it on the can?
Some states you don't.
Oh, okay.
Totally apologize for not silencing my phone.
Who is it?
It's somebody named, looks like their last name is Spam. First name is Potential.
Yeah. Sorry, Pat.
Yeah, sorry about that. Valhalla Russian Imperial Stout, according to, I didn't sign on to the Wi-Fi, so this may take a moment to load, but I was trying to find...
What is it about?
9.7% ABV.
Yeah, there you go. What is it about cigar shops? It's something about, like, when you put the word cigar shop above a building, it immediately becomes a little bit of a black hole for
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi and
you know, it's a good excuse
service.
For not getting a hold of the wife.
That's true. That's true.
It may be, you're right, it may be on purpose.
It's on purpose.
It's like, the phone wouldn't work, I'm sorry.
Is there a secret to this, Josh?
You know, I agree with what you guys said. Because
I'll walk outside and then my phone will go ding, ding, ding with like three different texts that I should have gotten.
Honey, where are you? I was trying to text you for 20 minutes.
The house is on fire, come home.
I was in a dead zone.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
A dead zone.
Oh my goodness.
Well, this is a truly wonderful and somewhat over-the-top Imperial Stout.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it really is. But it's if you're a fan of these kinds of things, if you like the kind of beers that Ian likes,
I would drink, this should be on your list. I would drink this floating down a river, no problem.
And it may actually help you float. It may be buoyant. I'm convinced that it could be.
If you spilled it into the water,
definitely
it would
stay on top. Yeah,
we're at
you can get it back.
We're at Casa de Monte Cristo in Houston, a wonderful and enjoyable place to smoke. We're having such a great time here, Josh. What should people know about your shop that you think is maybe its best quality or qualities?
This is the only one in town that has the VIP lounge, which includes the cigar locker, which keeps your cigars fresh 24 hours a day. We've basically got three different lounges throughout the shop. The massive walk-in humidor.
And it is huge, by the way.
It's massive.
It's a grocery store.
Yeah.
It's a good group of people, diverse group of people that all get along. you know, get together every afternoon, smoke cigars, talk about stuff. Good place to watch a game.
Yeah.
You know, good. We're kind of centrally located by all the hotels. You know, people mm-hmm. from out of town come in here. The taxes, the cigar taxes in Texas are extremely low. So we get people from out of town. When they're here, they load up on cigars,
yeah,
take them back home.
Sure. I remember when I was visiting, I spent a month working in Los Angeles a couple of summers ago. And Ian came out there with me because we did a show from out there. And I asked him, could you please buy some cigars and bring them with you? I'm running out, and I don't want to buy them at these rates out here in California.
We host the Texas Cigar Festival in April. Mm-hmm. All the vendors get together for a big...
Ooh, that's coming up just a few weeks then, huh?
Coming up in a few weeks.
What's the date on that?
I think it's the second weekend in April. I'm going to have
awesome.
To check.
Going to do it at NRG again?
No, we've got an indoor venue just in Humble. All the vendors will be there.
Smoke inside?
Absolutely. Smoke.
Only one
drinking.
Other, San Antonio does one, and they do it inside, and it's yep. fantastic.
Finks.
People do it in the air. Yeah. Just in case the weather is horrible.
Yes.
Yeah. Love it. This has been great fun. I wish we didn't have to wrap up the show, but we do. But that doesn't mean we can't sit here and smoke and drink for a while, which I intend to do. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for show number 373. Thank you, Alan Denny.
A pleasure, as always.
And Josh, thank you so much for sharing some of your cigar smarts with us. And
thank you.
And for pointing out what cigars we should smoke, because you were spot on for my two. Thank you.
It was an honor to be on the show.
Fantastic.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week for show number 373, when we'll talk about, have beer flights become passé? That'll be fun. We'll see you next week at Smoking a Toast. Yeah!